The following program is a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you like it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock. Click on the Donate Now button in the upper right corner of our webpage.
AM 1260 The Rock and the Catholic Diocese of Cleveland proudly present Where We Worship. This 30-minute, locally produced program highlights Northeast Ohio's Catholic parishes and institutions, their rich histories, and what they do to meet the spiritual needs of those they serve. Now here's your host, Bob Taya.
Welcome to Where We Worship, a program highlighting parishes and Catholic institutions throughout Northeast Ohio with the intention of offering you insight and understanding on the importance of community in our Catholic faith. Well, today, as we weather this COVID-19 pandemic, we are more than ever keenly aware of our parishes and the Catholic institutions and their importance in how we worship and develop our relationship with the Lord. Well, the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops best describes the parish as the place where the church lives. Parishes are communities of faith, of action, and of hope, and they are where the gospel is proclaimed and celebrated. And parishes are the home of the Christian community. They are the heart of the church. And why are they essential to our relationship with God? One only needs to turn to Scripture. In his letter to the Hebrews, St. Paul writes, "We must consider how to rouse one another to live and do good works. We should not stay away from our assembly, as is the custom of some, but encourage one another, and this all the more, as you see the day drawing near." Well, today on Where We Worship, we look at the rich history of the current ministries and the people of Mary, Queen of the Apostles Parish in the Cleveland suburb of Brook Park. And this is a very unique parish that is an amalgam of the Catholic Church with a long-standing past, an unprecedented growth, and then its reconfiguration here in the Diocese of Cleveland. Now, its history, in reverse, involves the establishment of a new parish, Mary, Queen of the Apostles, following the diocese parish reconfiguration program in 2009. That was preceded by the founding of one of the two parishes making up the merged one. That was St. Peter the Apostle in 1968, based on unprecedented growth on Cleveland's southwest side. And prior to that, there was the establishment of the Assumption of Mary Parish in the fertile farmland of Rockport Township in 1860. Well, this is your host, Bob Tayak, joining me on Where We Worship. And in order to respect the COVID-19 protocols via teleconference, Father Jim Stenger, the pastor of Mary, Queen of the Apostles Parish. And also to join us was Elaine Gauguin, pastoral minister at the parish, longstanding parishioner. Elaine, though, a bit under the weather during these COVID times, but Elaine has been kind enough to give us a full accounting of questions to be proposed. And Father Jim, I think you'll have some good answers for us via Elaine, and we thank you for that, and we thank Elaine for that. Well, Father Jim, first, we should touch on the unique and valued history of this parish. Can you give us some insight starting back, I guess, around 1860?
Well, it's very interesting, Bob. We have parish records here of baptisms and First Communions from 1860, as you mentioned. The area was known as Rockport at the time, and it did experience quite a bit of growth because the stone quarries, especially in Berea, produced large amounts of stone that were used throughout the region and shipped to different parts of Northeast Ohio. So it required a lot of workers, and mostly German immigrants came here at first. They were the first settlers that came in here. And it's interesting that they had to go to church kind of a long distance. They had to go either to the cathedral or St. Mary's of the Falls, which was St. Mary's of the Flats, rather, which is in the present-day Flats area of Cleveland. It said by horse and buggy it took them 3 hours to get to Mass. So in about 1860, there was established a mission parish out here called St. Mary's in Rockport, and a priest would come out here to celebrate Mass occasionally for the German immigrants, so they wouldn't have to travel that far. A small frame church was then built near a cemetery on Brook Park Road, which is still there today. And as it became a mission church in 1860, finally, 5 years later, in 1865, it received its first real pastor named Father Mueller. At the time, the parish was called St. Mary's Rockport. And then later on, there was a name change. They even built a little schoolhouse just a few years after that as well.
Boy, that's a rich history to start with. And I know there was great influence of the German immigrants. I was reading something where they had a very famous fundraiser every year in the 1920s, 30s, and even into the 40s called the Wurstmart with bratwurst, et cetera, and that type of thing, because the influence was genuine there.
Well, it said that when I was reading the history on it, too, it was saying that that really was a great support financially to the parish, especially during the 20s and 30s, because, of course, that was around the Depression. And so a lot of outsiders came and gave very well in terms of finances to support the parish at that time. So that helped quite a bit. Instead of bingo, here you had the Wurstmart.
We had the Wurstmart. That sounds like great fun and great eating. Let's take the jump then, Father, and go to roughly 1968 with suddenly the establishment of a new parish out in Brook Park as well.
Well, I think if St. Peter the Apostle, established in 1968, like you said, was kind of an overflow parish, I guess you would say, because if you recall, in the 60s here in the Brook Park area, the Ford plant was just thriving, and then you had the GM plant not too far away in Parma. So you had a lot of workers, again, attracted to this area. I think Assumption of Mary was busting at the seams, and so they decided to found another parish here in Brook Park to handle the amount of people. And I think there was enough land that was bought here because I think they really wanted to think about building a school here, too. Assumption already had a school, and I think they were thinking this property here on Engel Road for St. Peter the Apostle, which was what it was called then, might be thinking about building a school as well to handle all of the students. It's interesting, too, I'm now using the word Assumption of Mary, because in 1954, when the dogma of Assumption of Mary was proclaimed by Rome, they changed, Bishop Hoban at the time, changed the name of St. Mary's Parish in Brook Park to Assumption of Mary Parish.
Oh, my goodness, yeah. So that came formally. You know, I have to tell you the truth. I have recollections of driving down Brook Park Road. I'm talking as a young kid in the late 50s, and I can still remember going by Assumption Parish, and it was, I can remember on a Sunday morning, it was just an overflow. There was, you're absolutely right, there was a need. I just remember that consistently, even as a kid, to see that many people, you know, literally standing room only coming out of the church, you know, that kind of thing.
Well, it's interesting, too, because there was a small church, or smaller, it wasn't real small, but it was on the time you're talking about, it was on Brook Park Road. And then in 1962, around that year, the bishop had them purchase property on Smith Road, probably about maybe not even a mile away. But then he asked that a church and school be built there as well as the parish hall. And it's interesting, they used both locations between the Brook Park Road location for the school and then the Smith Road location until 1980. But yep. That was really something because of the overflow, like you said, because yep. of the number of students.
Very, very good. Well, when we return, how did Assumption and St. Peter the Apostle parishes find a way to establish a new parish? On Where We Worship on AM 1260, St. Peter the Rock. You're listening to Where We Worship on AM 1260, St. Peter the Rock Radio. And this is your host, Bob Tayak. Our interview being conducted via a special audio connection as we continue to observe the prudent communication practices during this COVID-19 pandemic. My guest is Mary Queen of the Apostles Parish in suburban Brook Park pastor, Father Jim Stenger. And Father Jim, let's talk about, we left off with the fact that there were now two parishes established as of 1968, you know, in Brook Park, because there was just a large gathering of Catholics there. Did they ever work together during that period, or did they share any particular assets with each other during that early established period?
I think the big thing probably was the sharing of the school at Assumption of Mary. So since there was no school at St. Peter the Apostle when it was founded, the kids that were going to parochial school from here pretty much went to Assumption of Mary. And then there really wasn't a lot of sharing, probably until the early 2000s, when you had that vibrant parish life going on and people began to talk about clustering. And then we did share the PSR program together, because then it's really interesting. Here you're bulging at the seams in the 60s, and then by the early 2000s, the parish is becoming very much older, and there's not a lot of kids anymore. And so we combined PSR programs between Assumption of Mary and St. Peter the Apostle in the early 2000s, combined catechumenate program, and combined doing some things together, even confirmation. We altered between the two parishes for a few years. And then there's a Women of Faith group that started, and that was really among the cluster parishes, Assumption being one of them, along with St. Bridget of Kildare and St. John Bosco. And then so the women from those four parishes kind of came together for that, Women's Day Recollection and Men's Day Recollection as well, and sharing our CIA program as well. So that happened more in the early 2000s.
And then we get to that, well, I'll call it a volatile time of reconfiguration, where there was the closing of parishes and judgments had to be made, you know, with within the clusters. And we moved to... basically, a new name being determined for the newly formed merged parish. And how did that come about, Mary, Queen of the Apostles?
What's interesting, like you said, it was kind of a volatile time because no one wanted to see their parish closed. And so you had the cluster planning committee with the equal number of representatives from each of the four cluster parishes. And we had to determine, actually, as a cluster, which parish was going to close, or really which site was going to close. Because the bishop mandated among the four sites, he only wanted three. And so that was, you know, something the cluster representatives had to deal with. And then once it was decided that Assumption of Mary and St. Peter the Apostle were going to be the two parishes that joined, leaving St. Bridget intact and St. John Bosco intact, then it also had to be decided which site was going to be chosen, the one at Engel Road at St. Peter's or the one on Smith Road, Assumption of Mary. And then once that was decided, and that was a final decision rendered by the bishop, then we had to submit three names. And so Mary, Queen of the Apostles, was one of the names we submitted, kind of being a combination of St. Peter the Apostle, so you get the word apostle in there, Mary, Queen of the Apostles, and then in honor of Mary, because Assumption of Mary. So it's kind of a combination, really, of those two parish names. Kind of sad that Assumption of Mary then ended up closing in May of 2010, and so did St. Peter the Apostle. We officially closed, even though the site of St. Peter the Apostle was chosen for the site of the new parish, Mary, Queen of the Apostles. But nevertheless, we formally closed as a parish here as well. But it's interesting, for Assumption of Mary, that parish was closed just a few months shy of its 150th anniversary as a parish.
Oh, my. Yeah, and that I'm sure contributes to, well, the movement of the people and the decisions that had to be made. As we mentioned, it was a bit of a volatile time throughout the diocese because of these decisions to have to close, you know, literally the buildings. And I know that there was, you know, some reputation that this was one of the best mergers in the diocese, that these two parishes were able to come together, make the decision on which building, et cetera, et cetera. How do you think that was accomplished?
Well, I think even though, you know, both places weren't happy about having to close their respective parishes, the people really did work together. So then you had these merger teams, and then all these subcommittees off of that, comprising of the equal number of people from each of the two respective parishes. And so you had subcommittees for liturgy, parish groups, ministries, staffing, finances, etc. And they had to come up with a plan on how to proceed in combining the best of both of the parishes, so to speak. And so I really attribute that success in terms of just the work of that merger team, the people that were on all those subcommittees. There's quite a number of people that were involved in that. And then the bishop had appointed me also as the administrator of Assumption of Mary in September of 2009, about 8 months before each of the two respective parishes were officially closed, as Father Mark Payton then was appointed pastor at St. Francis de Sales. So really, I think that helped a little bit too, that I was at both places, and we did liturgies at both places. I would appear at both places, and actually I appeared more at Assumption of Mary than I was here, especially on the weekends, just wanting to get to know those people a little bit more, and hopefully that would help in merging the two parishes together. But even at that time, not knowing who the new pastor was going to be honest, I thought sure the new pastor was going to be appointed, from outside of one of the two existing parishes. As I mentioned, Father Payton had already been appointed pastor Francis de Sales in Parma, and I honestly thought I would be going somewhere else as well.
Well, that it still really sounds like the people were willing, maybe not thrilled, but nevertheless were willing to step forward and to, look at that situation. And I guess really a great credit has to be given to parishioners from both of those of the parishes at the time to be willing to, if you will, make the sacrifices and literally give up their building and so forth. As you said, they really served as a great example of how it can be done, as painful as that could be at times. Would you not agree?
Yes, and we can't forget, too, the role of the Lord in all this, especially the role of the Holy Spirit, because we began with prayer before these meetings. Mm-hmm. And I think the other thing was the people at both parishes, respectively, always had a high percentage, really, of volunteerism, I would call it, in really being involved in their parishes. So I think that helped a lot, too. And then once the site was chosen to be on Engel Road, then we were able to bring, even though the church certainly is a people, not material things, we wanted to bring a number of material things from Assumption of Mary's site to the new, the newly merged parish here at the site of what was St. Peter the Apostle for the newly merged parish, Mary Queen of the Apostles. So things like chalices, monstrances, vestments, the beautiful Mary and Joseph statues that were inside Assumption of Mary are inside the church here now. The two beautiful Mary statues that were outdoors at Assumption of Mary are outdoors here now on Engel Road. The beautiful Stations of the Cross replace the ones that were here on Engel Road. They were brought in from Assumption of Mary, the baptismal font, the beautiful Paschal candle stand, and right now the nativity set that we use now in the church for the last 10 years is from Assumption of Mary, as well as a beautiful votive candle stand, and even some of the stained glass. We took some of the stained glass out of the church there and brought it in here to be incorporated into the building. So a lot of that worked out very well. Just give the people that were coming here from Assumption that feel, for Assumption of Mary, a feel for their past.
Amen. Well, coming up, Mary Queen of the Apostles Parish, its current ministries, activities, and liturgies on Where We Worship on AM 1260, St. Peter the Rock Radio. You're listening to Where We Worship on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio, and our focus for this broadcast is Mary, Queen of the Apostles Parish in suburban Brook Park on the southwest side of Cleveland. And I'm your host, Bob Tayak. My guests are Mary, Queen of the Apostles Pastor Father Jim Stenger. Also to join us on teleconference was Pastoral Minister Elaine Goggin, but Father Elaine, well, she supplied us with great information, even though she couldn't be here. But I think it's worth noting what a remarkable asset she is to the parish.
Well, Elaine loaded me up once she found out she wouldn't be able to be with us. She emailed me all of her notes for today of things that she had wanted to mention during this interview. And it's interesting that she has way more notes than I do, because she is a very thorough person. You talk about detailed. So she's supplied me me with a lot of good information that I've been rattling off here with you, Bob. So I appreciate it very, very much. She's really a great pastoral minister and very valuable member of our parish staff and does a great job here. So even though she's not here in person, probably over half the things you hear me say are coming from her.
Amen to Elaine, and thank you, Elaine, for your participation, even though it had to be just limited to a word to the page. Father Stenger, how has the parish been coping with this COVID-19 pandemic? Tell us about your activities and how you're presenting liturgies.
Well, as you know, it hasn't been easy for anyone in the diocese. We're probably getting about 25 to 30% of our normal number of people that come on the average Sunday. So obviously, like most parishes, we're way down. But we are streaming our liturgies live, and they can be seen on Facebook and also on our YouTube page. We here use two separate buildings for our masses, believe it or not, on the weekends, so that we can better clean the facilities, that we alternate between the hall, which we have set up as a church, and obviously the actual church building itself. So the janitors can go in there and spray after liturgies. Also, we put in a kind of long word, a photo hydrogenization system in our HVAC, and that helps purify the air as well. So we're doing a lot of things online, things that we never even dreamed we'd be doing, and some of our programs are being offered online as well. So, like, for instance, PSR, though that is one of the few things right now that's meeting in person, especially for our second graders and eighth graders, since those are key sacramental years for communion and confirmation. But the other grades meet occasionally here with our DRE in person. They get the materials for the next few months, and then they're supposed to work with their parents at home on their classes and that. But a lot of the other activities, prayer services that the deacon is doing, those are online. And then we have different resources that people can get to learn more about their faith, especially that formed program.
I know that search families who came into the parish after the merger with Assumption and St. Peter the Apostle have played an important role. Now I'm referring in normal times. Tell us about that a bit.
Search was really a program for young people, probably high school, college age, a while back. And really, Assumption of Mary was like the search parish on the west side, Robert Bellarmine being the search parish on the east side. It really drew a lot of involvement too from, you know, some of the parents that supported it. So a lot of that volunteerism that was going on, and then with the people, the young people did make it that are now older, that kind of carried through in their life of wanting to be involved in the life of the parish. So that produced a lot of fruits for the parish, I believe.
That brings to mind, how are you trying to reach the young adult Catholics who we keep hearing, of course, are the ones that have moved away from religion altogether? What is your strategy in that regard?
Well, we do have, besides the PSR, which obviously is for the grade school students in that, there's a high school program that we had, but we have not been meeting live with that right now. That's kind of on hold. But there's also a young adults for those that are out of high school, and Megan Boland had that up. And especially during the summer and fall months, they had socially distanced outdoor gatherings, especially because the weather was pretty nice. During the winter months, and trying to keep everyone safe as possible, they've been kind of postponed since November, but now I had been told by Megan that the group is wanting to get back together again and at least continue online to do some things. So they're looking up to, you know, doing things on this calendar year, the new calendar year, especially for Lent, and doing a weekly reflection series with the young adults to take advantage of the things they can do online. But it's really critical of something for the young adults, because like you say, those are really the future of the church that we need. And I think they kind of feel isolated being home by themselves. So they really need that interaction with the community of faith, which is key. So they're going to get rolling on that again. For the older adults, Elaine heads up that Discover Christ program. So that's like an evangelization program called Christ Life, actually, in three parts: discovering Christ, following Christ, and sharing Christ, in which you really try to develop your own personal relationship with the Lord when you discover the Lord in your life, and then how to put that in action, following Christ, and then how to evangelize, you know, sharing Christ. So that is a program starting January 19th here. It'll be a virtual program, and there's information how to register for that on our parish website.
What's that address, Father?
We are at mqabrookpark.org.
I kind of remember that.
mqabrookpark.org.
Oh, that's very, very good.
Just think of Mary, Queen of the Apostles. It's the first letter of Mary, Queen, Apostles.
Got it. MQA. Very good. Well, Father Stenger, thank you so much for joining us and giving this insight on really a wonderful and vibrant parish. And God bless you and what you're continuing to do there. As you've been listening to Where We Worship, and this is your host, Bob Tayak, this presentation featuring Mary, Queen of the Apostles Parish in suburban Brook Park, Where We Worship, a production of AM 1260 St. Peter the Rock Radio, focusing on the essential aspects of community worship and participation in our Catholic life, and as written in the Gospel of St. Matthew, Chapter 2, prayer as a community is absolutely essential for our spiritual growth and our personal well-being. God does not intend for us to bear our crosses alone.
Thank you for listening to Where We Worship with host Bob Tayak, presented by AM 1260 The Rock and the Catholic Diocese of Cleveland. If you missed any part of today's show, listen to the program in its entirety by going to our website, am1260therock.com, and click on the Archive Audio tab.
The preceding program was a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you liked it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock. Click on the Donate Now button in the upper right corner of the webpage.